Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stewart, how we doing, buddy?
Hey, James, what's going on? It is going pretty well today. A nice Wednesday, a little bit warmer this week, a little drier here in the Midwest and Central Indiana. The last week or so, we've all been flooded out. It got pretty bad, honestly. You can see some fun news stories about it, but that was a weird one. A little drier this week. Nice and pleasant weather to clear out your house of flooded materials. But for today, we are rounding out the divisional breakdowns. At long last, we are going to be done. We got two teams left in the AFC South that we're going to talk about. But James, first, I want to hear about how you are doing today.
Oh, I'm doing fine. You got some nicer weather here, too. I think it's very funny. Actually, maybe a little bit sad that the weather finally breaks here in Northern Illinois and is nice and it doesn't hurt to be outside right when all of the kids are going back to school. So, sorry, kids, you don't get to enjoy good weather. You have to be inside and learn stuff. So, with that, great show planned for you all today. We're talking about the Titans and the Colts. And then after this, all draft until September, I guess. And into September, I guess. But before we talk about news, because there have been a ton of camp injuries, because, you know, we can't have football without injuries. Stu, what are you drinking tonight?
Yes. So over the past weekend, I actually hosted a lot of our fantasy league from all around the Midwest. We were talking through rules for our league, but everyone got to bring their own beers. I'm not sure if this was left for me, but I got a lot of Spotted Cow from New Glarus Brewing Company, of course, famous in Wisconsin and those who live near Wisconsin, right, James? So I've got to clear out my fridge of all the beer so we can start putting actual things in instead of just leftovers from all the food that we made and all the beers that were left here. What are you drinking this evening?
Well, this evening, from Hop Butcher for the World out of Chicago, Illinois, I am drinking the Utori Supersized Hopped Dry Rice Lager. When you think about dry rice lagers, you're usually thinking about it as a Japanese style of beer, even though it's rice doesn't really do a lot to beer. It's an adjunct that doesn't really add much flavor. It's more about a mouthfeel thing. It's going to be pretty flavorless. So let's crack this bad boy in 3, 2, 1. I promise I wasn't trying to be mean by saying it was going to be flavorless. I don't think it's going to be a flavorless beer. This just rice. It's not a flavorful thing. That's not why you add rice to beer. You add rice to beer for other stuff.
Look, white rice is surprisingly flavorful, and I'll die on that hill. I don't even know what that quote is from. It's from some popular show. It is what it is. But news, training camp.
Hold on a second. That's like saying salt is spicy.
Salt might be spicy. It's technically a spice. News.
News. Okay. We've got a lot of injuries, some of them worse than others, some of them still not sure how bad they're going to be, but if you are interested in drafting Jordan Tyson, Alvin Kamara, Jaden Higgins, Breece Hall, Tyler Warren, or Jeremiah Love, all of them are dealing with some sort of injury, as is the Chargers center, Tyler Biadasz, with an ACL there. The worst of these seems to be Jaden Higgins, who is out for the season as of this morning. I had previously, I think last week, said I was excited for him to possibly take a next step forward in a sophomore season. Guess not. Jordan Tyson is one who has been a really exciting guy to watch highlights of in camp. He's going to be out for several months.
It's a hamstring.
Hamstring mm-hmm. stuff. Alvin Kamara, I believe it was an MCL sprain. He's going to be missing about a month. which I don't think we expected him to be that impactful early, but just clearing the way for Travis Etienne. Breece Hall, it looks like his groin injury wasn't as bad as it initially looked, but if he ends up missing time during the start of the season, Braylon Allen will be the guy to have, and I'm sure that because of this, Braylon Allen will be drafted late in drafts still. Jeremiah Love dealing with a high ankle sprain. I haven't heard that he's going to miss any of the regular season. I would assume he won't, but he may be shut down for the rest of camp. And then the Tyler Warren one, that's new. I hadn't heard exactly what happened there. What do you got on that, Stu?
Yeah, he went down in 11-on-11 drills and went to go be with the trainer on the sidelines, did not participate in the rest of practice. Now, nothing to the date of this recording has been released as to whether he will miss time or not, but all of these are really, really pertinent, and we need to be paying attention to them. And we want to talk about fantasy impacts, James. Of course, people like Jaden Higgins, the second-year wide receiver for the Texans, out for the season, don't need to worry about him. That does bring a little bit more consideration for probably not Nico Collins, who was going to get his work, but the tertiary receivers like the recovering Tank Dell or Noel, I think, is a second year, third year wide receiver out of there. He's been injured in camp as well. They're probably not super fantasy relevant, but names that you need to be aware of. Jordan Tyson out for at least a couple months. I'm not willing to throw a rookie wide receiver on my IR at the beginning of season, so he's basically undraftable for me. Alvin Kamara was already undraftable for me. And then the Breece Hall, Jeremiah Love, and Tyler Warren. We should talk a little more in depth about how this affects their average draft position, as well as our own personal feelings on them, I think. Breece Hall, at least if I can start this, James, I'm not really that worried about Breece Hall. I don't think that this is going to be an injury that lasts into the season, so it doesn't change his ADP for me. I'm still comfortable taking him in the like the third, fourth round sort of deal. He's actually been rising in ADP, at least from the mocks that I've been doing. So I'm totally fine with Breece Hall there. Do you want to talk on him a little bit if you can, and then take us into the next one?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you that this isn't going to affect him a lot, but I think that's most, or not going to affect his draft position a lot, but that's mostly because he wasn't really getting a lot of respect in drafts anyway. Like, for the caliber of player that he is, as opposed to the situation he's in, there's a big disconnect there. So if anything, his dropping in ADP is going to be, you know, minimal, because it was already pretty far down. If anything, you can probably now get Breece Hall at a value if you can get him to drop into the fourth. I haven't really seen what has been going on since his injury has been announced. I think people are generally not super worried about it, but if you can get a draft room that's just terrified of this, maybe he'll fall into the fifth. Who knows? Jeremiah Love, it, like I said, it doesn't sound like his is too bad, so I don't think it's going to affect him horribly, but it should be known that he did have an injury history at Notre Dame. It seemed like he was pretty consistently banged up while having incredible outputs as well, but that's kind of what comes with the territory of being a high-profile running back. You're never exactly going to be fully healthy, and he's got a lot of experience playing while hurt, maybe not so much injured, but, you know, dealing with the pain and that sort of stuff. I feel confident that he'll bounce back, and he will still be productive. I have recently seen in mocks for him that he has started falling into the third for me. I saw him a lot in the second for most of the summer, but I'm starting to see him dip. And I'm not sure if that's part of the injury or people finally starting to put together, oh, wait, the Cardinals are going to be really bad, and maybe I don't want a rookie running back attached to that offense. So that's my thoughts on that. But then on the Jaden Higgins thing, I don't really see Jalen Noel or Tank Dell or really any of those guys pulling up into big fantasy relevance, I feel like there's probably going to be a game for one or two of them where they're going to take off earlier mid-season, and we're going to tell people to keep an eye on them on waivers, and then they're just not going to be consistent enough to actually be worth rostering. And, you know, it sucks about Jaden Higgins because of where he is in his career and the kind of talent he's shown, but it is what it is. I think Nico Collins has been able to set himself apart in that offense, not because the system has been good for him, or certainly not because CJ Stroud has been good, but because he has been that good enough to still set himself apart with a pretty underbaked offense around him. Tyler Warren, I'm hoping, is nothing to worry about.
We have to wait for Tyler Warren news for sure. I'll only say one other thing on Jeremiah Love specifically, and that is that you will not catch me dead drafting a rookie running back with a high ankle sprain in preseason in the second or third round where he was going prior to injury. So hopefully we can all collectively come together and not draft Jeremiah Love until much, much, much later. I mean, the Cardinals are missing their top four draft picks now. And some of them are out for the season. I think they lost an offensive lineman for the season, I think. But I'm not certain. Anyway.
Do we know if there's an electrical substation somewhere near the Cardinals practice facility?
I think the substation is just so big outside of the 49ers facility, it's starting to stretch to the entire Western Seaboard.
Everything.
And Arizona.
Everything west of the Mississippi is affected by the San Francisco substation.
Exactly.
All right. So with that, I think it's time to go ahead and get into our final two teams for our summer breakdowns. First of those being the Tennessee Titans. Now, if you remember the reason why we did the divisional breakdowns in the order that we did was we did the teams with the least cap space first and the most last. So it just happens to be that we started with the Chicago Bears and are finishing with the Indianapolis Colts, which, you know, the podcast's favorite teams. And over the offseason, we expected some big things to happen, some big free agents to be signed, and to my knowledge, the only really big one for the Titans was at the wide receiver position in Wandale Robinson. But that is in addition to Carnell Tate, who was the fourth overall pick taken by the Titans. I really expected the Titans to trade that draft pick to get someone to help with the overall development of their offense, but Carnell Tate being arguably the best receiving prospect in the league coming out of the draft this year, or at least depending on who you ask, that was something they apparently could not overlook in order to help out their young quarterback Cam Ward going into his second season. So with that, Stu, what are you thinking about these wide receivers going into the 2026 season, specifically Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson? Because I'm assuming you don't have big opinions about, or at least big positive opinions about, Calvin Ridley, Kamara Dike, and Elik Ayomanner.
Yes, there are too many names for Cam Ward to be supporting, so we can talk about maybe three of them. Calvin Ridley is dust at this point. I have no inclination to draft him in any respect. Maybe he becomes a waiver wire darling, but I probably not. As far as Carnell Tate, he's going fairly high. Right now, going as the wide receiver 31 as a rookie in the seventh, sixth, or seventh round, something around that line, as the maybe a wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4 on your rosters. He seems to be in an okay spot, but around that area, I'm liking a lot of other wide receivers more than Carnell Tate. Just, again, while Cam Ward can have a resurgence or a second year bump where he's actually, you know, relevant and impressive, I don't think it's going to be right away, and I don't think Carnell Tate is going to be the immediate beneficiary. He's got his own, you know, licks to take as a rookie, and that's just kind of how life works. I mean, around him, at least in standard, we've got Rome Odunze, we've got Parker Washington, Devontae Adams, Cortland Sutton is down there, DK Metcalf. Any one of those guys I would take over Carnell Tate, I think, at this point. He would really have to be peppered by targets and get a lot of receptions in PPR leagues for him to be, I think, worth it at that current draft position. It's the Titans, people. We're not expecting a whole lot of fantasy relevance out of this team. So why are we drafting a rookie wide receiver this high, thinking that he's going to carry our fantasy seasons? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, personally. And that's not even going into how he's looked in camp, how he looked in that first preseason game, which I watched every single target and snap that he got, and I was not super impressed. So I'm not looking to throw out some decently high draft capital to get him on my squad, unless I was really, really desperate. I mean, if it was between him and like Huge or Stephon Diggs, yeah, sure. But there are others that I will take before Carnell Tate. Wandale, on the other side, at a much lower cost, and by much lower cost, he's going about two rounds later, at least from our notes, as the wide receiver 38 in PPR. I mean, he's just off of a season with 1,000 yards in New York, 92 receptions, 4 touchdowns. He was kind of an under-the-radar, unsung fantasy-relevant player. Is he going to be that this year? I'm betting against that, but I'm more inclined to take Wandale Robinson at his price than I am Carnell Tate at his. Wandale could very easily, and I mean very, very easily, outperform his draft position, in my opinion. Other pass catchers, Gunnar Helm, I do want to shout out his name. Right now he's going as the tight end 24 in points per reception leagues. They let Chig Okonkwo go, and Okonkwo got a good contract with Washington. He's a name that we've been watching as a possible fantasy relevant tight end. I don't want to take too much attention away from Gunnar Helm. I think he could be a really, really sneaky get early in the season. I do not think you need to be drafting him. Let me be very clear. But if you're streaming tight ends, or maybe even if he gets hits the ground running, he could make his way into a fantasy relevant roster-worthy space for us, James. Anything else on the pass catchers, or do we want to talk about Cam Ward himself?
Yeah, I did want to double-click on Wandale Robinson, because he has been one of my favorite unsung heroes of the last two seasons with the Giants. Last season, like, you know, you never heard his name much when talked about fantasy players you wanted to have. But for his draft capital, which he was being drafted, I want to say in like the 12th or 13th round, people were expecting Malik Nabers to dominate the receiving game there. Excuse me. And he was the wide receiver 14 last year. Like, he was very close to being a wide receiver 1. He was 17th in points per game, averaging over 13.5 points. So coming into this situation where you have a young quarterback who's in need of somebody who has really, really sharp fundamentals, which that's what I love about Wandale Robinson. That's what he does well. He's sure-handed. He's got solid route running. He doesn't really do anything incredible other than just finding seams in the defense to sit in, but I really like Wandale Robinson's game, and I think he's going to be great for helping Cam Ward get a little confidence in his passing game. Carnell Tate, you know, he could be like a big play guy over different parts of the season, but Wandale Robinson is the guy I'm really looking at to be kind of the anchor in this passing game, and I agree, I like him in the 9th round. But talking about Cam Ward, I haven't been able to get Cam Ward out of my mind this summer for some reason. And I've texted you several times, like, are we overlooking this guy? Because it seems like no one expects him to do anything this season. Last year, he was the number one overall pick. There was kind of a consensus that if there were any other quarterbacks taken or any other quarterbacks available, then he definitely would have fallen. But He was taken by the Titans, and he was most well known for his quote during a post game where he said, "If we keeping it a buck, we ass right now." And I'll bleep that in post. But he was right. The Titans were really, really bad last year. They did have moments where they, you know, lucked their way into wins, but it wasn't so much because Cam Ward was playing well. That said, the number one overall pick always needs time to develop because he's going on to the worst team in the NFL, and that was no exception here with the Titans. That said, the Titans have improved their offensive line this year. We've already talked about the new and in some cases exciting receiving targets that they've acquired to help him. I think there's a chance that he could take a step forward this year. I don't think he's going to be relevant in one quarterback leagues, but I would kind of expect by the end of the season he's going to be regularly starting in two quarterback leagues. There may even be, by the end of the season, some signs of life where he may be a one-quarterback redraft streamer. I'm not expecting that, but I think it could happen. I think there's a ceiling play here. I think his floor is very low, but I don't know. I expect something. I don't know why. He hasn't really shown us any reason to expect improvement, but I think it's going to happen. Stu, what do you think?
I expect nothing, and I think we will get reasonably average to below average quarterback play, but I like young guys playing well, so I would rather see him do well. I don't think he's fantasy relevant in one quarterback leagues, and I don't expect him to be relevant in one quarterback leagues this season. But hopefully the Titans, I mean, I'm a Colts fan, but hopefully the Titans just be better, because our division kind of sucks. It's sucked for a really long time. Jacksonville sucked for a really long time. Houston sucked for a really long time. The Colts are just perennially mediocre. We need something. Something to work with. And Cam Ward could be that something. I just don't expect it in the slightest. Running backs, James. Tony Pollard is still around. And he ran for over 1,000 yards last year, which is honestly pretty incredible. I was really high on Tony Pollard last year. I drafted Tony Pollard last year. And he's just the least exciting running back target, I think, in drafts that is still considered the starter. I can't think of very many other running backs that I'm less excited for that are pretty clear-cut the starter. Maybe you'll give me names and I'll reconsider that. But right now in points per reception leagues, he's going in the sixth round as the running back 29. He's like, he's the DeAndre Swift, but out of the bargain bin, and DeAndre Swift is already kind of a bargain. So Tony Pollard's just kind of like at the flea market. I don't know. If you started him at RB2, I would think that your team is in dire straits. But He'll still get all the work. He's not going to be threatened by Tajay Spears. I think we're over the Tajay Spears train. So Tony Pollard will get the lion's share of the mild committee that is the Tennessee backfield. James, anything on those guys?
Yeah, there are running back twos in other teams that I would rather have over Tony Pollard. Again, just because of how bad this Titans team has been. And as much as I definitely didn't stand on the table for Cam Ward. I stood like three steps away from the table, but the table was there. I'm not going to go any closer to the table for Tony Pollard. I really enjoyed his breakout in Dallas when it happened, but this is the Titans we're talking about. There's not going to be anything interesting about this running game. They drafted Nicholas Singleton out of Penn State, who I believe is the all-time leading rusher in Penn State football history, which is, you know, significant. I would expect to see a committee with Tajay Spears and maybe even a little bit of Michael Carter. But I don't think there's going to be enough games where they're playing from ahead to get enough snaps for running backs to really have any kind of meaningful equity there. So Tony Pollard, glad you're still in the league. Glad you're still getting work. But a 6th round pick for Tony Pollard? Jeez, no, no way. Anything else on the Titans, or are we ready to move on?
I don't think there's anything else on the Titans. I am ready to move on. We saved the best for last, didn't we, James?
The Indianapolis Colts, our hometown team. You know, I was thinking back to when we talked about the Colts last year, and just, I feel like 3 or 4 different times while breaking down this team, I said, it's just such a shame when describing this team. It's such a shame that Jonathan Taylor has to play on this team. It's such a shame that Tyler Warren has to have his rookie season with Daniel Jones. It's such a shame that all of these wide receivers that could be impactful on other teams have to play here. But then, for the first half of the season, the Colts had the most efficient offense of all time. And that was pretty cool. That was very unexpected. Daniel Jones was a startable QB1. Jonathan Taylor looked like the front runner to be the MVP for a while. Tyler Warren looked like the front runner to be Rookie of the Year. All of this stuff was happening, and it was glorious. And then Daniel Jones tore his Achilles. And then we traded Michael Pittman over the offseason, and this, that, and the other thing happened. Now, Daniel Jones has made a miraculous recovery. Jonathan Taylor is locked down, just got a new contract. Tyler Warren, as we said, has a groin injury. And Michael Pittman is gone. So, with that being said, people are kind of thinking about the Colts in the same way that I did last year. It's just such a shame that this team is going to be so bad, where the situation here hasn't changed that much. Daniel Jones seems to be healthy. All of these guys seem to be mostly... okay, the receivers are definitely not healthy. But Jonathan Taylor is going into the season as the RB4. There are things to like here. But just the overwhelming sentiment is that this is going to hurt. So let's start with the running back. Let's start with Jonathan Taylor. Last year, he, I believe, was he the RB2 last year? He was, let me check real quick.
I don't think he was the RB4 last year. Yeah, he wouldn't have been that high.
Yeah, he was the RB4 last year. For a lot of the season, he was up there trading blows with Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs. But ultimately, just at the end of the season, he slowed down too much to really keep it going. And that's one thing that kind of worries me about Jonathan Taylor. He's 27, so he's not old, but he's also not young. Last year was actually not even the best season in his career. He had over 1,500 yards and close to 400 yards receiving, but he bested that in his second year in the season. So there's clearly a lot of tread left on the tires, but it should be worth mentioning that between those two seasons, that his second season was 2021, which was his best season, in 2022, 11 games, in 2023, 10 games, in 2024, 14 games. So with him being a bit older, can we expect him to play a full 17-game season this year when he's only done it 3 times in his 6-year career? I don't really think so, but I think that when he's on the field, we can expect him to be impactful. And I think he's worth that RB4 first round look. I think he's probably good in all formats for that. I still like him. Now, with that said, no one's really talking about DJ Giddens or Seth McGowan, guys who are like in contention to take over this backfield if Jonathan Taylor gets hurt. And like I just said, I think he probably is going to get hurt at some point this season. So neither of these guys are going to be drafted. Just keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on DJ Giddens specifically, because someone is going to have to get those snaps if Jonathan Taylor goes down. And I just get this feeling that we need to be watching that. We need to be ready for it. Stu, what do you think?
So it's a really interesting conversation because he's worth a first round draft pick in your fantasy drafts. I'm not going to argue against that. Jonathan Taylor on a great team would be the number one overall draft selection. He has been in contention for the number one overall draft selection in years past. He's incredibly talented. But the thing about it is that I feel like he's kind of dependent upon how the rest of the team is doing. As soon as Daniel Jones went down to his Achilles, there was no passing game. Everyone could just look at the Colts and say, hey, they have to win through Jonathan Taylor. Let's stop Jonathan Taylor from doing anything. And his production cratered in the second half of the season. Of course, it's not his fault. I don't think he's all of a sudden just a bad player. He's still the same player he has been. It's just that he needs attention taken off of him. So I'm a little mildly skeptical to be drafting him in the first round. While I still will, I need to put my trust in Daniel Jones, which, I mean, I didn't have much last year. Even after I saw that he could do it, now he's coming off of Achilles. Every time he runs in preseason, I am just imagining his calf snapping. The wide receivers, we're going to talk about them, but I think we are in dire straits for the wide receivers. I don't know what their plan was over the offseason. And then we have Tyler Warren going down with a groin injury. We don't know how bad that's going to be. So I have small, but I think fairly legitimate concerns about taking Jonathan Taylor in drafts in the upcoming 2 or 3 weeks. We need to pay really, really close attention to the Colts as a situation before we need just throw a first round draft pick at him. Talking about the wide receivers, can I just get into it? Alec Pierce, on the back of a 47 reception for just over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdown season, gets paid a hefty sum to stay in Indianapolis. $116 million to be the wide receiver one for the Colts for a good long while. I don't love this. I loved that he could be great. I love that he was fantasy relevant. I love that Daniel Jones could find him, and he was a really dangerous option over the top. But as a wide receiver one, because we know Josh Downs is not the wide receiver one in Indianapolis. He's never shown the propensity to do that. To be a wide receiver one, I'm highly skeptical about Alec Pierce, and now he's been out in the last several weeks with an ankle issue. And for some reason, we can't get our reporting down. Nobody knows if he's getting PRP injections into his ankle or not. There was a whole thing about him getting a second one after an offseason surgery months ago, which would be a really bad sign if he's still not healing up just this close to the season and after all that time. And then it came out that, no, he didn't have another PRP injection, but he's still not participating. It's like, well, is the ankle hurt or is it not hurt? Don't love it. Don't trust it. Josh Downs, the smaller sized, more possession style receiver, nice PPR darling as well, comes down hard after trying to make a catch, lands on his back. He's been out for a little bit. I don't think that's going to be a long-standing issue, but Josh Downs may be worth a late-round pick, but he's not going to be blowing the tops off of our fantasy teams. And then, James, I'll push it to you right after I introduce this, but lo and behold, from the heavens, the ancient and decrepit Keenan Allen signs with the Colts for $8 million. It was just a couple nights ago. So this wide receiver room does very little to inspire confidence in me, James. Can you talk to that? Any dissenting opinions, or what are you feeling about that?
Real quick, do you remember when Keenan Allen had like a mini feud with Mike Evans, where like both these guys were coming up as young wide receivers in the league, both performing pretty well, and Keenan Allen was insulted that people compared him to Mike Evans. He said, "I'm so much better than that guy. It's not even funny." Do you think anyone still thinks Keenan Allen is in the same conversation as Mike Evans?
Probably not. I mean, Keenan Allen has been a very good wide receiver. I just don't think he's like Hall of Fame good wide receiver.
Right. But anyway, back to the Colts. You can count me out of drafting any Colts wide receivers. You can count me out of targeting any of them. Josh Downs and Alec Pierce, I'm seeing going interchangeably in the 9th and 10th. I want no part of whatever circus is happening there. I don't want any part of Keenan Allen. The number one wide receiver in Indianapolis is going to be Tyler Warren. And if he's got problems, then we've all got problems. But moving to Tyler Warren, I've seen him going in the fourth or the fifth as the tight end four. I think if you can get him in the fifth round, that's a great place to get him. He'd be going fourth behind Trey McBride, Brock Bowers, Colston Loveland. The only reason why I put him behind Colston Loveland is because of all of the other issues going on in this offense. Colston Loveland is on the Bears. They were a hot team moving into the second round of the playoffs last year. They have high expectations again this year. There are no expectations around the Colts this year. There's no expectations around this offense other than it to revolve around Jonathan Taylor. Tyler Warren is really the only other guy behind Jonathan Taylor to do anything in this offense. And early in the season last year, Daniel Jones kind of made that clear. He targeted Tyler Warren a lot. He looked like kind of the second coming of Brock Bowers. He was an angry runner with the ball. And he is exactly what you want to see from a tight end. And I'm still excited about him as a player. The only thing that worries me is where he is in Indianapolis. And I would love to see him take the next step from last year, move into... It's wild that I almost just said move into elite tight end territory, and he's going as the tight end four. That seems like it should be elite, but that's just kind of how shallow we look at the tight end position as being. The other tight end there is Mo Alie-Cox, who I said his name, and that's about it. But that leads us to the quarterback situation, which I have a question for you, Stu.
Yes.
Have we seen the last of Philip Rivers?
Yes, dude. Oh, my God. We've seen the last of Philip Rivers. I thought you were going to say the last of Richardson, and I was going to be like, maybe, probably, but no.
No, we've probably seen the last of Anthony Richardson and Philip Rivers. But that was a fun. Do we want to call that fun? I
was
think
that
it was fun.
I don't think it was all that fun.
We
were the number one seed, James. We were the most efficient offense in football.
Once you could accept that all of the injuries that the Colts had meant that nothing was ever going to be good again, then watching Philip Rivers go out there. What was he, 4 years out of the league, something like that, 3 years, and just willing balls out of his hands, just ducks. That there were fun things about that. And he almost beat the Seahawks, the eventual Super Bowl champions in Seattle. So
yeah, I almost became a supermodel last year. I just needed to be discovered, okay? But no, if you need a bifocal, we're done with you being an NFL quarterback. It's over. It's Jover.
All right, Stu, talk to us about Danny Dimes.
Oh, gosh, what is there to say? We're going to watch him, and we're going to look at his calf every single time he starts to run or move and hope it doesn't snap in half. He's probably not going to be a fantasy-relevant quarterback, not going to be drafted. He might be fantasy relevant, but he's not going to be drafted. We're going to have to wait and see how he's come back. Because like you said, this was a miraculous recovery. This was a short-term recovery from an Achilles tear. And I'd rather it not happen to him again. Because outside of football, even Tyrese Haliburton, just Indianapolis is sick of Achilles tendons. Just Everybody keep your Achilles on. It's going to be fine. I don't have a whole lot to say, really. I'd rather draft Baker Mayfield than him. Would you rather draft Baker Mayfield than Daniel Jones there, James?
Yeah, I would.
Good boy.
That's
well
the
done.
First the first nice thing I've said about Baker Mayfield this whole summer.
QB 12 or higher.
Doubt. But
subscribe.
I mean, Daniel Jones, if he is able to get even like 80% of what he did last year, he's going to be very relevant in two quarterback leagues, and I would say he'd be very relevant as a streamer. I just worry about everything else going on here. And there's going to be so much pressure on this team with the coaching staff and with Chris Ballard. Just everybody is going to be like looking for an excuse to clean house at any moment. And Daniel Jones is going to go when that happens. I would expect the Colts to try to get back into the first round by trading Jonathan Taylor. I'm now thinking about like apocalyptic situations for the Colts. They traded two firsts for Sauce Gardner when they were in first place, which sounded great, and now they're up a creek without a paddle. I don't know. The Colts are exhausting, Stu. Say something to make me feel better.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I also used the term up the creek without a paddle today at work. So our minds are running along the same wavelength. That's something, right?
Yeah.
The Colts will be mediocre, I'm certain. But Jonathan Taylor will probably be fun for your fantasy team. And he's the most interesting player we've talked about all day. We've been talking for 41 minutes now.
All right. Stu, closing thoughts.
We are on socials. You can interact with us if you want to. We are on Instagram and on X, Fantasy Foot Beer on both platforms. We do take beer recommendations and questions at our Gmail, fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. Always want to hear what you're drinking and what you enjoy and want to hear us drink and assess live on Foot Beer. That's it. Yes, we're done with divisions. Woo, we made it. We get to talk about mock drafting. We talk about drafting strategies. If your draft is already happening, you need to be getting ready. You said it wasn't this weekend, James, but the next two weekends following are the highest draft, you know, the most common weekends to draft. There you go. We need to be thinking about this stuff. You need to be mock drafting. You need to be listening to all of our previous episodes talking about each and every fantasy relevant player in the NFL. We've done it all. It's all here. You could just scroll back all of our episodes. They're right there. Do it. I dare you. James, take us home for the evening.
Stu, we did it. We said every single name. All of them. Every name in the world.
You even said Mo Alley Cox.
I did. I didn't say Blake Groupie or Spencer Schrader. Now I have. But if you guys want to dive into your mock draft strategy, or your draft strategy rather, just today on fantasyfootbeer.com, I posted my draft rankings for the 2026 season. If you'd like to use those, you can hop over to the website. You can download that spreadsheet. You can do whatever you want with it. But it sounds like this weekend we're going to record a bonus episode talking about draft strategy, and we are going to be hitting draft stuff hard over the next 2 weeks so that you are in the best situation to win your leagues. I'm excited. Stu's excited. Pixel's excited. Indy's excited. So for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, for all of those people I just mentioned, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good talk.